Used to talk radio. I'm going to borrow a line from that. Long-time listener, first-time caller. All right, so we're going to go ahead and let's open a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to study your word as you've commanded us to do. Father, we ask that you bless the listeners, Father, that your word will pierce them and that you'll be glorified in this depiction of what you call out here in Acts 3. And in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Acts 3, 1 through 10. So we'll just read the whole passage here, then I'll have one or two words to say about that, and then we'll be done. Now Peter and John were going to the temple on the ninth hour to pray. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to sit every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg for alms of those who were gathering at the temple. When they saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by his right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And there, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had just happened. My wife reminded me, this is out of my notes, so this is another segue. So my wife reminded me of this Donut Man. So you gonna sing it? No, she's not gonna sing it. So Donut Man, and I was going like, man, I hadn't heard that in a while. So yeah, so. So those from the homeschool circles back in the 1900s, you know, you're very familiar with the Donut Man. So anyway, all right. So today is the seventh installment of Acts. We will go over the background leading information leading up to what we just read about vessels of God at vessels of God's disposal, and conclude at God being glorified. So here's a timeline. Day one, Palm Sunday. Jesus enters Jerusalem as a king riding on a donkey. Day four, the Last Supper. Jesus warns Peter that he would deny him before the rooster crows three times. Peter said, "Lord, not me." Day five, Good Friday. Jesus is arrested. Peter denies Jesus three times. The rooster crows. Jesus is crucified. Day seven, Easter Sunday. Empty tomb. He is risen. Day 50, Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is given. Peter becomes a leader. 3,000 people get saved. So here we are. So now we're looking at about a Tuesday afternoon. Acts 3. Peter and John continue to do what they normally do, praying at the third hour. So the third hour is around... they pray three times a day, so typically the first hour is around 9 a.m., the sixth hour is noon, and the ninth hour is around 3 p.m. Acts 3:1-2. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, and a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to sit every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg for alms as he entered the temple. We know the book of Acts was written by Luke, a Gentile by birth, and based on interviews and inspirations of God. We also know Luke was a physician. Therefore, who better to recognize and scrutinize someone declared as lame versus normal newborn legs? Those of us who have had newborns, we know those legs are not meant for walking at that moment. But Luke is a skilled physician, and he calls out details about this man that we will see later. Next point. The lame man was carried to the temple every day and put at the beautiful gate. First century historian Josephus describes it as a gate made of Corinthian brass and 75 feet tall. That's the height of about a five-story building. Okay, here's another segue. A five-story building, about 75 feet tall, so five-story, four-story. When I think of a gate, you know, I can't really picture that. So then I did a little research, and I said, okay, well, the end zone gates at the Dallas Cowboy AT&T Stadium is 120 feet tall. Then I was like, okay, well, I guess 75 feet is not that big a deal. But still, you know, so that's about 62% as high as the Cowboy Stadium end zone gates. So large gates, large doors, that's the thing. Therefore, it is easy to understand that this gate, perhaps the main entrance of the temple, would be a place to present the most traffic for someone to ask for alms. You would think people would have money, gold, silver, what have you. In Jewish culture, it is expected to provide a level of provisions for the poor, and by abstention, the sick and disabled, the lame man. Let's look at one example of this provision of the poor. Let's turn to the book of Ruth. Verse 1. Now it came about in the day of the judges governed that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem in Judea. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech died, Naomi's husband. She is left there with her two sons. They take for themselves Moabite women as wives. The names of those were Orpah and the other, Ruth. And they lived there for about 10 years. Then Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the women was bereaved with two of her children and her husband. So to summarize and skip ahead a little bit, Naomi is a widow, broke, poor, in a foreign land, Moab, with two daughters-in-law who are also widows. Naomi heads back to her homeland and tells Orpah and Ruth not to come along with her. Orpah kisses Naomi and leaves, but Ruth clings to Naomi. What does this have to do with Acts? We'll get to that. We'll get there in a second. Ruth does not know where she's going, but she has faith to hold on to Naomi. Verse 15. Then she, Naomi, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return with your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you and turn back from following you. For where you go, I go. And where you lodge, I lodge. Okay, I didn't expect this. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I die, and there I will be buried. Thus the Lord said to me, and worse, if anything but death parts me and you. When she saw this, she was determined to go with her. Naomi said no more to her. Once Naomi returns homeland, she is greeted and settles in. At this point, the two women have little to no food, but Naomi knows the rule. She sends Ruth to a field to glean. What is it to glean? Those harvesting wheat were instructed not to present not to harvest 100% of the food, but to leave some for the poor, to keep them so they wouldn't starve. So to glean, or to think of it a little bit differently, to provide alms for the poor. To round out the book, Ruth was not sent to any random pasture, but to a field of a distant cousin, Boaz. From there, boy meets girl. He finds favor with Ruth. Ruth redeems Ruth. They marry. They live happily ever after and establishes the lineage of David. Okay, back to Acts. As we just saw in Ruth, we know it is within Jewish culture to provide for the poor. But what we're about to see play out in Acts is instantaneous in comparison to what we just read in Ruth, which took some time. Acts 3. When he, the lame man, saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, with John, fixed his eyes on him and said, "Look at us!" Today, as you can imagine, as it may have been back then, a person looking or asking for money on a sidewalk, on a street corner, in the median, we have one of three reactions. Look at the person and give that person money, food, or water. Ignore the person. Don't decide which is your favorite, so don't raise hands, which you normally do. Take a quick glance and avert your eyes elsewhere. But not Peter. He has a fourth reaction. The New American Standard has "look at us" with an exclamation point. Other translations have a period, but this particular punctuation adds color to Peter's statement. Peter not only looks at the lame man, but commands the lame man to pay attention, asserting the healing authority as a vessel of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Where did Peter and the other disciples get this power to heal? Let's turn to Mark 6, verse 7. And he summoned the 12 to begin to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over the unclean spirits, and he instructed them that they should not take any, that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belt. But to wear sandals, he added, do not put on two tunics. And he said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. Any place that does not receive you or listen to you, you will go out and shake the dust off your soles of your feet and as a testimony against them. They went out and preached, and the men sent to repent. And they were casting out demons, and they were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. So that was a training ground. What do we know about Peter to not be surprised by his quick response of the lame man? Here are examples of early Peter to Peter, the man of God, in Acts. Matthew 14. This is after feeding the 5,000. Verse 22. Immediately, he, Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and head ahead of him and go to the other side. While he sent the crowds away, he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance gone from the land, battered by the waves. For the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified and said, "Is it a ghost?" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke and said, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to the Lord, "If it is you, come and command me to come out on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I take away from this, Peter's faith was less, but his strength in the Lord would grow. Let's continue. This next piece is after the Lord's Supper, after foretelling of his death, after telling Peter he would deny Jesus three times before the cock crows, Jesus is betrayed by Judas and is captured in the garden. This is John 18, verse 11. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of Kidron, where there was a garden. This is the Garden of Gethsemane that's called out in other Gospels, in which he entered with his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew this place of Jesus, had often met there with the disciples. Judas then had received with the Roman cohort, the officers and the chief priests of the Pharisees, come there with lanterns and torches and weapons. So Jesus, knowing all things that were coming to him, went and said to them, whom do you seek? They answered him, Jesus the Nazarene. He said to them, I am he. And Judas also was betraying him, was standing with them. So when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Therefore, he again asked, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus answered, I told you I am he. So if you seek me, let's go their way to fulfill the word which he spoke. For those of whom I have given me, I lost not one. Simon Peter, then having a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, cut off his ear, and the slave's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword in the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, I shall not drink it. Peter, the defender. Now to present Peter in Acts, if you will. Unlike Peter that acted before thinking, as was read in Matthew 14 and John 18, we have Peter in Acts 2. All of the disciples are in one place. Pentecost happened. Multiple languages were spoken. Everyone heard the language in their own tongue, but were accusing the disciples of being drunk. Who takes the mic? But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice, declaring to them, men of Judah and all who live in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and give heed to my word. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. Peter, the commander. Back to Acts 3. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on the man and said, look at us. And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, the Nazarene, walk. And seizing from him the right hand, he raised him up immediately to his feet, and his ankles were strengthened. This part in verse 6, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. There is a similar event that happened earlier at a different gate at the city wall. Turn to John 5. Starting in verse 2. Now, there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool which is called Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, withered, waiting for the moving waters. For an angel of the Lord would come down at a certain season into the pool and stir the waters. Whoever then first, after stirring the water, stepped in and was made whole for whatever disease of which they were afflicted. A man was there, had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew he had already been there a long time in that condition. He said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But when I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately, the man became well and picked up his pallet and walked. The healing happened on the Sabbath, which had gotten the attention of the Jewish leaders, and they went looking for him, but the ill man did not know who he was. Later, Jesus finds him in the temple and tells him, "Do not sin anymore, so nothing worse will happen to you." Very similar to Acts 3:6, two men were unable to walk. The sick man is healed by Jesus. The lame man is healed by Peter through the power of Jesus the Nazarene. One power, two miracles with the same outcome. Acts 3:8. With a leap, back to the donut man, if you remember that song. I don't remember it, but for those that do. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all of the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking notes of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg for alms. They were filled with wonder and amazement about what had happened to him. Jesus' power is put on display. But this was not a celebratory amazement, quite the opposite. This was to be used as evidence. And we'll see more about that next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that the word has pierced us. Father, as we see these miracles that you have allowed through Peter and through the disciples after Pentecost, Father, we just again want to honor you and praise your name as you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.